When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Namaste, motherfuckers. Welcome to Namaste, Motherfuckers, the only podcast where the worlds of work, comedy, and well-being collide. The podcast where the life-changing stuff happens. I'm Callie Beaton, and a big, warm, festive welcome to you at this, our third annual Christmas Cracker special, which as usual features some of our favourite jokes from a selection of our brilliant guests during the past year. And first, a couple of cheesy jokes from me. These are ones that have done the rounds in our household over many years, so strap in. How did the ornament get addicted to Christmas? It was hooked on trees its whole life. What would you call an elf who had just won the lottery? Wealthy. And what do you get if Santa forgets to wear his undercrackers? St. Nicholas. And finally, here's one of Jeff's. What do you call a large dog that meditates? A werewolf. As in A-W-A-R-E, a werewolf. All right. Don't blame me, blame the dog. In this episode, we will hear knock-knock jokes, of course. It wouldn't be a Namaste motherfucking Christmas cracker show without a knock-knock joke, as well as kids' jokes, one-liner jokes, situational comedy jokes, that's jokes with a setup, a story and a punchline, and once again, comedians retelling their favourite jokes from other comedians. As always, almost every guest this year moaned about our recurring what's your favourite joke question. The most consistent response along the lines of I hate this, I never remember jokes, or I can't tell jokes. That one's usually from comedians. But hey, if we drop the what's your favourite joke question, there wouldn't be a Christmas cracker episode, so get on board. This year, some of our guests got around the question by telling something that was less of a joke, more of a you had to be there kind of an anecdote, starting with Alistair Beckett King.
I think it's the kind of joke that I can't write, which is like the funniest thing there is an in-joke, if you know what I mean, rather than an actual joke, like a you had to be there between friends joke. I remember when I was on a shoot at film school, one of my film school pals called Stephanie was American, and she asked if a fellow student of ours, whose name was Merv, she asked, is Merv short for Merville? Which at the moment, and is it short for Merville? was the funniest thing that's ever happened. Now, I can't explain to you why it was so funny. I couldn't breathe. We were eating at the time. It killed me for a week.
So a joke, are you going to give me a joke?
I think my favorite joke that I sort of got out of the mothballs is about my mother, because she died recently. And I did this one on stage last night about buying my mother an iPad when she became a widow, as she was in her very late 80s, and how difficult it was for June to get on board with this technology, and living 250 miles away, I'd have to give her these iPad lessons over the phone, and they'd always start like this. There'd be me going, okay, have you switched it on? My mother, yes, me. What can you see? My mother. A naked man, me. A naked man, what's he doing? She goes, he's got a vegetable up his bottom. I said, well, he's got a vegetable up his bottom. What did you put in the Google search engine? She goes, interesting things to do with aubergines. And that is absolutely true. That is a true. Well, I don't know whether it is actually. Sometimes I make stuff up. But whenever I think about that joke, and I did it some years ago and dropped it because, I'd done it. And then I've sort of regurgitated it because it makes me feel close to my mother.
Yeah.
And what's your favorite joke?
Oh, I'm so afraid of you asking me this, because your assistant, she was like, what's your favorite joke? And I was like, listen, I'm really bad at jokes. I'm so bad at jokes. And she's like, no, everyone has a joke. And I said, no, I've got like a joke dyslexia. I bollocks them up. Like I tell them backwards. I said the punchline wrong and first. And I'm like, I'm infamously bad at jokes. But I can kind of tell a funny story, obviously briefly. But then I've said it's a funny story, so now I'm afraid it won't be funny because I've given it too much. I've teed it up too much. But one of the things that made me laugh was we were discussing. I have a dog too, and he's massive. He's half Newfoundland, so he's 14 months. So he's a puppy. But like he's up like this. He's huge. He's like small horse, and he lives in our house. And obviously he's a young male. 14. He's humping everything, and he's enormous dog. Right, just, and it can't go on, so we're getting him neutered, but in the meantime he has a special friend, which is a teddy bear, which is, I don't know if you're familiar with the Fantastic Beasts, the J.K. Rowling yes. spin-off from Harry Potter, and in that there is a kind of a creature called a niffler. It looks a bit like a mole.
It's a
black thing with big paws, and it robs gold coins and stuff. But we have a quite a large niffler in our house that one of my kids had as a teddy when they were young. And the dog it looks a bit like our dog because it's black. And the dog, obviously, has been sidling up to the niffler all along. And it's like Pepe Le Pew. And he keeps shagging the niffler, right? And so we're all looking at this and it's really embarrassing. And the niffler is there with this hapless expression on its face.
Because the niffler's quite cute.
He's quite cute. Yeah. But the funny story was this. We were all sitting around one day looking, and he doesn't hump cushions, the couch, or it's just the niffler. He goes at the, I think he thinks the niffler is a girl
special
dog.
Friend.
It's a special friend. But we were sitting all looking at it, and it's all a bit embarrassing when the dog is like, as we say in Ireland, riding the niffler. And then one of my kids, my youngest kid, looked at and said, do you ever think when you look at that niffler, imagine if Toy Story was true? And we all looked and we all went, oh Jesus. Because when you're imagining, oh, a family that loves me, you can imagine the niffler coming into our home and then this huge black dog descending on the niffler. So that's what I leave you with, a really bad rapey image, which I should have kept to myself.
Thanks for the memories, Alistair Beckett King, Jenny A. Clare, and Kira Kelly. And thanks to Jeff for not behaving like her dog. Speaking of amusing anecdotes, Paul Chowdhury told one of his own jokes based on real life.
My joke, I don't really have a, this is a tough, it's like saying what's your favourite film or favourite comedian. It depends on the mood, isn't it?
Well, whatever the mood is telling you to say now.
I don't know, what was my favourite joke? One of my favourites back in the day was, do you remember the BNP?
Of course.
British National Party.
Yes.
I'm not sure if the listeners, so they're not around anymore, are they?
No, I don't think they are, but people will know, I think.
Some of your listeners are BNP, did you say?
No. Lots of my listeners are old enough that they would.
Oh, right. Sorry, I thought
it wasn't that long. No, I hope. Well, I'm fair to say, I hope none of my listeners are ex-BNP. But it wasn't that long ago, was it, BNP?
No.
It was only a couple of years ago, a bit longer, that it ceased to be and morphed into other horrible things.
Well, yeah, it was National Front prior. And people say UKIP is the equivalent now, but I've even done a joke similar on Facebook, which got me attacked. Listen, we're not like that, you know. Just kind of, but I think I did at the time. I did a joke. I tried to join the BNP, which would get a laugh because I'm obviously Indian, and I got through to a call center in India, so that just got done quite well. One of my earlier jokes.
Very
hello,
good.
I think that then I did a hello BNP.
The knock knock joke has become a Cali's Christmas cracker tradition, and this year did not disappoint. Here are two, one from Stuart Heritage, but first it's Lucy Cave.
Knock knock.
Who's there?
Boo.
Boo who?
What's the matter? Why are you crying? That's the only one I know, because that's one that my kids tell their friends.
I was listening to the episode with Jeff Lloyd and Sarah, and Jeff was going, well, I don't like it when people just tell jokes. And that made me feel bad about this. But it's knock knock.
Who's there?
Europe.
Europe who?
No, Europe who.
We love a knock knock joke, and we have a Christmas cracker episode. You've hereby guaranteed your position in it. A couple of good old knock knock jokes there, courtesy of Lucy Cave and Stuart Heritage. Kids, of course, love knock-knock jokes, and this segues nicely, all thanks to producer Mike, working out how the hell to stitch all this together, into silly jokes, kids' jokes, or some might say just quite shit jokes, starting with Al Murray. By the way, Al doesn't tell a shit joke. Sorry, Al.
Well, my youngest daughter, Daisy, tells those kids' jokes. And I think, what's the last one she said? What is an octopus with no... What do you call an octopus with no legs?
What do you call an octopus with no legs?
A door, right?
That's quite good. I quite like that. It's quite a lateral little bit of...
Well, it's... I mean, you know, get Noel Fielding on the phone.
Yeah, I mean, or Spike Milligan.
Yeah.
And yeah. What, Samantha, is your favourite joke?
It is. I was talking to Paul about this. It's one that always used to make my son crack up, but he always used to crack up at everything. It's what's black and white and red all over, and it's a sunburnt penguin.
Excellent.
But Charlie always used to, but he'd tell rubbish jokes as young children do. But that one, if I said it any time, it's so funny.
This really stressed me out, you know.
It stresses everyone out. It stresses the comedians exactly. out the most, let me tell you, because we're all shit at jokes.
This is a really shit joke, and it's an oldie but a goodie, but it always makes me laugh. And I always tell it to my nieces and nephews when they come around just to wind them up. But it is, what did the cheese say to itself in the mirror? Hello, me.
Thank you to Al Murray, Samantha Evans and Matt Williams for your silly and definitely not shit jokes. Many of the jokes told this year were short and sweet with a few cracking one-liners. Here's a bunch of them, kicking off with Alistair McGowan.
Years ago, and it's always stayed with me. Is it my favourite joke? I don't know, but it stayed with me. There was a fabulous act on, and I'm sure you've had this or will have this. You should have come through with various people on the comedy circuit. You see their acts a lot when you're doing those gigs, and you get to know their act almost as well as yours. There was a fabulous act I used to do a lot of gigs with back in the late 80s, early 90s, called Niall McKenna. Don't know what happened to Niall McKenna, but he had some good lines. He's a very handsome young Irish comedian. But one of his best lines, and it's always stayed with me, was, he said, "Don't you hate that moment late at night in London where you've got the night bus, you get home, you're walking past a kebab shop, and there's a sign outside the kebab shop saying, 'Sorry, we're open.'" And every time I see a kebab shop, I always think, "Sorry, we're open." And poor Niall having to have a kebab because it's the only thing that's on offer, and then regretting it for the rest of the night, and millions of people the same, I'm sure.
What is your favourite joke?
My electricity bill. Probably, because it is absolutely through the roof at the moment. We are getting, our pants are fully down, and there seems to be no way around it. So if you're happy to keep it as that, my electricity bill is my biggest joke.
What is your favourite joke?
Do you know what? As a one-liner, one of my husband's one-liners that I really love is, where's the best place to hide in hospital? I see you.
Excellent. What's your favourite joke?
Knowledge isn't free. You have to pay attention.
So the joke that I've landed on for every moment where, you know, you're going into a venue and you say to the security guys, "I'm one of the comedians, tell us a joke then." You're checking into a hotel. "Oh, you're one of the comedians, tell us a joke." Any of those moments. I never had anything. But now I've got the joke. And I tell it anytime that comes up, which is, why did the toilet paper not cross the road? Because it was stuck in a crack. It's just so simple.
That is
it's
a tidy bit of business, isn't it, right there?
It is.
And what's your favourite joke?
Oh, so, I mean, I'm going to admit defeat on this because I'm like appalling at jokes. So I actually messaged some friends before. I was like, "I'm going to do a podcast in 10 minutes. I need a joke." And I got the messages that came back were...
were these from your Orca sisterhood members?
This is... from my, you know, from my Hastings pod.
Yeah.
And I got one friend said, "The only joke I remember is 'too long involved vibrators' and 'isn't that funny, soz.'"
Well, tell her I'd really have liked to hear that one.
I said, "You disappoint me."
Yes. And Callie, she's disappointed Callie too.
Disappointed Callie. And then another friend then sort of chimed in and said, "What's the difference between jam and marmalade?" "I don't know. You can't marmalade a dildo up a man's arse." And I said, have you got anything else, Drew? And, he's like, how long have I got? And I said, 10 minutes or I've got to tell the dildo joke.
Well, I like the fact that your Hastings pod is so sex toy biased. I feel that it speaks volumes and your footprint on the world sounds glorious. And what is your favourite joke?
Oh, shit. Oh, I've got to have a favourite joke. I don't really do jokes because that requires memory. I can remember my first joke, but it's not funny.
Go for
it. Why do birds fly south? Because it's too far to walk.
I love it.
And there's only one joke I ever remember. So that's what you're getting. And I guess, are you professionally obliged to laugh at your guests' terrible jokes?
No, I'll deadpan you. Okay, I'll give you what I get when I try new material in a big club. Brilliant. Yeah.
What do you call a sheep without legs? A cloud.
Oh, I see. I just think that's sweet.
It's a terrible joke and I don't tell it well.
It's a very long joke and it's rude, so I don't want to do that one. So, so I'm going to do a joke that when the person, the lad that I used to work with told me this joke and I found it so funny. It's, what are the three most common owls in the UK?
Go on.
The barn, the tawny, and the teat. Teat-owl.
My favourite joke is, what's the difference between a dachshund and a street trader?
Go on.
A street trader balls out his wares on the pavement.
That was the Reverend Richard Coles rounding off our seasonal barrage of one-liners. You also heard Alistair McGowan, Danny Wilshire, Diana Doherty, Dr. Grace Lorden, Jared Christmas, Lucy Cook, Philippa Perry, Rachel Burden, and Rachel Fairburn. Namaste, motherfuckers. Namaste, motherfuckers. We had a couple of nice sitcom-type jokes with a setup, a story, and a punchline, starting with one from Yvette Fielding.
Well, the guy comes in and says, I've invented an apple to taste like different flavours. You know that one, don't you?
I don't.
Oh, he says, comes in and he says to this head of a manufacturing company, I've made this apple taste like different flavours. She says, no, you haven't. That's not possible. He says, go on, taste it. So the guy tastes it. He goes, strawberry. He says, yeah, turn it round. My God, grapes. He says, yeah, turn it round. This is incredible. And he puts it down on the desk. He says, but if you can make this taste like a woman's fanny, he said, I'm telling you now. He said, this will, we'll make billions. Come back when you've done that. Okay. Anyway, a year goes by and he goes back to the same manufacturer and he opens the door and he walks in with the apple and he plonks it down on his desk. And the guy says, you haven't. He says, I have. He says, you haven't. He says, I have. Go on, pick it up and taste it. So the guy goes, oh, tastes like shit. He says, yeah, turn it round.
Ta-da!
I really quite like this one because I think, you know, women, you know, we're all feminists, but we shouldn't take ourselves too seriously. So basically, it's the first female astronaut to be on the station in Mars. And she radios down, or whatever you radio down, and she says, you know, Houston, we have a problem. And comes back, what kind of problem do we have? Well, if you don't know by now what the problem is.
Well, that's one of our Christmas cracker episodes sorted. Oh, I love it. I haven't heard that before either.
There is one joke, and I can't tell it, and I hope you know it, because I don't think I can even describe the joke, but it's a friend of mine. And the reason I like it is it's clever. It's long and it's clever. And it has got, it's got a good punchline, but it isn't just the punchline that makes it funny. And it's a joke about a bear in a bar and barbiturates. Do you know it?
I don't know it, no.
And it's an alliterative joke. So it's sort of, you know, bear goes into the bar and asks for a pint and the barman says, you know, we're not serving a bear in a bar. And then he says, why not? If you don't serve me, I'm going to biff you. He said, well, I'm certainly not serving a bear in a bar that's going to biff the barman. You know, so, and it grows and grows and grows. And anyway, I can't tell jokes, but that's my joke.
You see, you had me with a bit of initial momentum. I was like, she's going to tell the joke and it's going to be good. Well, I'm going to find the joke and I'm going to get producer Mike to tell the joke.
Hello, Podcast Penance. It's producer Mike here
and I thought I'd mansplain the joke that Callie and Deborah, between them, didn't manage to tell. Here it is. A bear walks into a bar. "Sorry, we don't serve bears in here," the barman says. "But I'm a big brown bear." "Sorry, we don't serve a big brown bears." The bear is angry and hits the bar with his claws. "Give me a beer now." "Sorry, we don't serve bar-bashing big brown bears." The bear picks up a bar stool and smashes it against the ground. "I want a beer." "Sorry, we don't serve barstool-breaking, bar-bashing, big brown bears here." The bear is getting angry and takes a bite from the counter. "Give me a beer." "Sorry, we don't serve drug addicts either." The bear is confused. "I've never touched a drug in my life." "Well, what about the barbiturate?" Classic. Well, that one is definitely going in this year's Christmas cracker, motherfuckers.
That was Deborah Meaden, with a little help from producer Mike, and before her, Yvette Fielding and Kirsty Walk. Something new in 2023 was the two for the price of one deal. While most guests complained about having to tell a joke, some snuck in an extra gag. And of course, eagle-eared producer Mike was straight onto them. So here are a couple of our double dippers, kicking off with Katie Durham.
I'm having piano lessons with Julia Strake's sister.
Are you?
Yes.
That's grand.
I know. I mean, it doesn't mean she's a good... I told someone that and they went, "Does she play the piano?" I was like, "I don't know."
It's like... It's like the old joke, isn't it, about the Antiques Roadshow? You know, "I've got a Rembrandt and a Stradivarius. Trouble is, Rembrandt couldn't make violins and Stradivarius couldn't play."
There you go. Hey, well, that, I think you've done your
that's
joke.
My favourite joke.
You did it. And do you've told us, told a lovely joke. Would you like to keep your Stradivarius joke, or would you like another joke for your favourite joke?
Do you know what? I have a terrible memory for jokes.
You and me both. Well, and for me, it's a problem.
But look, you just made that into a joke.
There you go.
I did very much enjoy, though, when our younger daughter was learning about jokes for the first time, you know, when they're sort of realising that people laugh at a certain cadence, you know, and there's a certain kind of format to "have you heard the one about," or "what do, you know, what do dogs like to drink for their tea," or, you know, whatever it might be. You know. And I remember she was currently more than about three. And she'd been hearing her then 8-year-old sister telling funny stories, and she wanted a bit of the same. And she went, "Mummy, mummy, you know, daddy, what do people eat?" And we all went, "What do people eat?" And she went, "Salmon." And we all went, "No, no, darling, that's just an answer. That's that."
She sounds like the open mic circuit, really. That still goes on. So, no, you need a joke now.
I didn't actually hear that. Right, so a bloke told me this, right? The Isles of Sea, which I loved, and I had about 4 days out there, and it was just delightful. And 2,000 people dotted about on 5 islands, 40 miles on a boat from Penzance. So right, proper remote. And the sea dominates, and if the boat doesn't come, then you go without. And the boat doesn't come on a Sunday. It doesn't come all winter, in fact, or once a week, I think. But in the even in the summer, on a Sunday doesn't come. So you go without stuff. So there's no Sunday papers. And a bloke told me that he was in the newsagent, and there was a holidaymaker in front of him in the newsagent. And the holidaymaker said to the newsagent, "I'll have a daily paper, please." And the newsagent went, "Do you want today's or yesterday's?" He said, "Today's." He said, "Well, you'll have to come back tomorrow." I mean, that is a perfect joke.
Yeah, it is perfect.
Real life, isn't it?
Yeah, it is perfect. What is your favourite joke?
So, when I got all sort of lefty, when I was about 18, there was this lovely old fella I used to go, it was fascinating for so many reasons. Tony Cliff, who many older people would have known because he was sort of quite an influential figure on the left. And he was a lovely, amazing genius of a man, really, from Palestine. As Jewish a person as you could meet. He was a sort of, just everything about him just exuded this amazing Jewish humour and everything. And he used to sort of do all these talks and things. And I would love listening because he was funny, you know. And I've always just basically, I think that really, if you're doing anything in public, if you're speaking or doing anything in public, you ought to be a little bit funny.
It should be a rule, shouldn't it? Yeah.
Don't you just be a bit funny. If you're speaking at a wedding, a funeral, whatever it is, if you're doing a talk about astrophysics, Stephen Hawking did jokes. All the best people, there's a bit in them that's funny. And he was funny and he had a sense of mischief. And of course, sometimes you would get people who would be very, some would go, oh, that was out of order what he did there. But he told this one joke. And I think the whole raison d'etre of this joke is that all that stops us is our own minds. All that stops us really taking over the world is our own minds. And it sounds a bit dated now, but he would often tell this joke. And it was that there was a factory and they made cooling systems. And an Arab sheikh came over to look at the cooling systems. He was going to buy a lot of the cooling systems. And so the manager's showing him round and saying, yes, we make them here. This is where we make this sort of under the cast here. And then the sort of the, and then the, you know, there's another bit that's made here. If I show you through there, and the Arab sheikh's and all his regalia and stuff. And he's looking at it all and he's quite interested. And then it's the lunchtime. And so the hooter goes. Now, younger people won't know about this, but there would be a hooter in a shipyard or something like that. And everybody would leave for lunch. And hundreds of people leave the factory. And the manager carries on showing him. The Arab sheikh is now distracted and says, I must stop you. Your slaves are all escaping. Your slaves are all escaping. And the manager says, don't concern yourself with that. That's absolutely fine. And then he carries on showing him round. And now if we look over here, we see the painting that's done here. And this is where we check it. And the Arab sheikh is just absolutely, he can't believe what he's seen. And an hour later, the hooter goes for the end of lunch break. And everybody comes back in. And at the end, the manager says, so are you going to buy a cooling system? And the Arab sheikh says, fuck the cooling system. Get me 100 of them hooters.
Another Christmas cracker tradition is comedians telling their favourite jokes from other comedians. And there are some crackers. See what Mike did there? He wrote this script. There are some crackers in this lot, starting with Uri Styler.
One of my favourite comedians, and I don't have favourites as in like, loads I go, this is who is my favorite, but I do have a group of people that I love watching or working with. One of my favorites is Kane Brown, and big shout out to Kane. He does not get the shine he deserves.
Completely agree.
He is one of the funniest, one of the most like impactful, hilarious, like on like biggest stage presence comedians out there. He's tall, handsome guy. So loads of ladies like coming out to see him because he's in great shape and stuff. And then he's just loud and aggressive with the mic and everyone loves to watch him, but he does not get the credit he deserves. I tell him this so often and we talk quite often as well. Doesn't get the credit he deserves. He is one of the best comedians breathing and it's criminal that he doesn't. He's got a current joke that he says right now from a lot of the shows that we've been doing, and he's put it up on his socials as well because someone recorded it, and rather than it going around without his permission, he's gone, you know what, I'm just going to put it up on socials because people are kidding the industry by recording and not being vetted by ourselves. It's him talking about the Caribbean community and how we don't get a chance to we have been passed economically by everybody else who's come here. We've been here since the Windrush generation, and he talks about like many other communities, like the Asian community, have come here after us and passed us economically. And then he talks about how the reason why is the unity within the Asian community is amazing. You could have loads of takeaways and restaurants or shops all on one road and they're all doing really, really well. Then he says, but then when you try to find a Caribbean shop, we're always juke up somewhere on our own, on double yellow lines, right? And then he says, you can't even park to go get your food. You have to run out your car, run in there and say, hey, hurry up, I ain't got time. Just put the oxtail in my hand, man. Hurry up before I get a ticket. It's how he delivers it. So perfect. And because of his how he attacks a joke, it's it's just amazing.
We'll put a link to his stuff, and it's also a really nice way to spread the word, because he's one of many. I think there are so many people who are so incredibly talented and just aren't known.
It's a Jeremy Hardy joke. I always get it wrong, and I always think that Jeremy Hardy will be up there going like, "You fucking idiot, get the wording right," because I know that he'd be livid. I'll try and tell it right. It's really short. That's where it has to be the right words. Okay. A man goes into the doctor with a problem, and he takes his clothes off, and the doctor examines him. And the doctor says, "Well, you're going to have to stop masturbating." And the man says, "Oh, why?" And the doctor says, "Because I'm trying to examine you." I cocked it up.
I don't think you did.
I think my favourite joke, and I'm basing this on the fact that I haven't rewatched this recently, but it's still in my head as my favourite joke. Jim Owen, when he comes out and does his finding the funniest spot of the stage bit of material. Have you seen it? Yeah, you must have seen this. Because do you know what, for me, it's so simple and yet so fantastically brilliant. And it's so the true. Kind of, and the bit of material as well that you watch and you go, "Oh, I wish I'd written that. I really, really wish I'd come up with that." So of course it's for anyone who hasn't watched it, he comes out and he says, "You know, I usually like to start these sets by just finding the funniest spot on the stage," proceeds to walk around. And then of course people start to giggle, and then he walks back to that spot, which makes people laugh even more, as if he's physically found the funniest bit of the stage. It's so simple, but so genius. And I absolutely roared when I first, when I watched that.
I'll tell you what it is. It's a sketch, actually, and it's a moment in a sketch. So when I was younger, I must have been about 8 or 9, my dad, and I've remembered this, he brought home, the Daily Mirror were giving out, like on the front of the mirror was a tape, sellotaped cassette tape, and it was for Comic Relief. This is how going back some now. And it was a collection of stuff for Comic Relief. So on that tape was a bit of Joe Brand's stand-up. There was Monty Python. There was clips from Blackadder. It was bizarre. And the last one on the first side was the One Leg Too Few sketch with Peter Cook and Dudley Moore. I don't know if you know this.
I do.
Where it's the one-legged Tarzan. So Dudley Moore hops into the office and says to Peter Cook, "I'm here for the role of Tarzan." And they have, you know, he says, "You know, you do know that you have got one leg." And he was like, "Yeah." And he said, "Look, this is the line where I think, this is that moment where I think as a comedian, when Peter Cook sort of says, look, I've got nothing against your right leg. It's a beautiful leg. When you hopped in here, I thought that's a lovely leg. I've got nothing against your right leg. The problem is neither of you," which is it's just a moment when I just thought, oh, that, and I remember being sort of 8, 9 going, "I know that's really well written."
Yeah. My favorite joke is a Joan Rivers joke, actually. I met Joan Rivers once. I have to say, you know, when you say about these namaste moments, one of them was when I worked with Robin Williams. About a year before he passed away, I did a show with him at the Throckmorton Theatre in Mill Valley, in San Francisco, and he wasn't on the bill, but he lived in Mill Valley, and he used to come there quite frequently to this theatre, the Throckmorton, and watch acts, and he would often perform there. It was a local theatre. It's full of really rich white people in Mill Valley, and I turned up there one night. I walked into the green room, which was very small, and he was sitting there, and they used to order pizza for the comedian. So they just ordered some pizza, and he was sitting there by himself. And I walked in, and he's eating pizza by himself. And he said to me, "Are you on?" And I said, "Yes." And he said, "Hi, I'm Robin." It was just me and him in this green room talking, eating pizza. And he then came up stage to watch me. And he said to me, "You killed it. You did so well. Don't ever give up." And obviously he passed away a year later. And I just thought, I just never forget that evening that I had with him, meeting him, talking to him, him watching me, him saying to me, don't give up. Then I, a few years earlier, I'd met Joan Rivers at the opening. A friend of mine is a theatre producer. And Alan Bennett had a play on Broadway. And Joan Rivers was there. And we were standing at the buffet afterwards. There was like this buffet where you could get food for all the guests in the green room. And she was in front of me. She was very quiet and very shy. And we were just talking about the buffet, what we're going to have. And I just remember talking to her there at the buffet. And she was so quiet and unassuming and shy. And I just think, oh my God, I met these two people that I most, you know, in comedy, I most admired or wanted to be like, you know. But all her jokes.
I'm glad rolled those out, because those are good moments, Shazia. If you'd kept those in your back pocket, I'd be like, fucking hell, do you not understand what the podcast is about? They're good. And you said that that your joke, it's a Joan Rivers joke, yeah. Your favourite joke.
Yeah.
What is it?
Where she said, and I'll never be able to do it as well as she did, but she said, you know, women, you know, stop getting an education. You know, you want to educate yourself. You want to read books. Yeah, fuck all that. Yeah. No man has ever gone after a woman. No man has ever put his hand up a woman's skirt looking for a library card. Just fuck getting don't get an education. Work on your looks. That's what she said. No man has ever put his hand up a woman's skirt looking for a library card. Not only is that funny, it is also true.
That was Shazia Mirza dropping Joan Rivers' name even more than I do. And that's going some. You also heard Uri Styler, Rachel Paris, Richard Franks and Scott Bennett. And to close us out for this year is one final comedian telling another comedian's joke. One that we've heard at least twice every year, but it's a brilliant one. And there's a reason it keeps getting picked. Yes, motherfuckers, it's time for that famous Bob Monkhouse joke, brought to you this year by Mark Simmons.
The one I always tell people is a Bob Monkhouse joke, because I just think it's just a perfect joke, really. But the trouble is, it's not like, I don't think it's like a rip-roaring make you laugh, but it's just really well crafted. I really like it. And that is the people laughed when I told them I wanted to be a comedian. Well, they're not laughing now.
I love that.
I just think it is perfect. And it was actually, you know, the film The Joker. Did you ever watch that?
Yeah. Oh, that's in there, isn't it? Yeah. No.
Yeah. But it actually really annoys me, because he does that joke on stage, and they sell it like it's a bad joke.
I know.
And that really annoys me, because it isn't. And I'd like to know if they got permission to use that joke, or why they used that joke. But it doesn't make any sense, because it's a really,
it's a great joke. Namaste, motherfucker. That was Mark Simmons, also sometimes mistaken for my comedy son, due in part to his colouring. Google him if you don't know what he looks like. And let's be honest, in part due to the disparity in our respective ages. So that is it for our Christmas Cracker episode 2023. Thank you to all my guests this year, even those whose jokes we didn't include. Blame Mike. Thank you for listening, and a big final festive fat thank you to producer Mike. Thank you, Mike. Thank you. You've had a right old hullabaloo this year, putting up with last minute shenanigans from me. Without you, we would have been royally namaste and motherfucking fucked. So I owe you one. And last but not least, please leave a review, tell all your friends and neighbours, and indeed outright strangers. And if you're new to the podcast, we hope today's episode inspires you to go back and listen to the episodes you haven't heard yet. And even if it didn't inspire you, just do it anyway. Be nice. What better way to kill some time between Christmas and the new year? Namaste, Motherfuckers was written and presented by me, Kelly Beaton, and produced by Mike Hansen for Pod People Productions, with music by Jake Yap. And we will be back in your feed next Thursday with a special New Year's episode, when I will be sharing the best in life advice from all my guests in 2023.
This too shall pass.
Until next time, motherfuckers.
Namaste, motherfuckers.
Pod.
good people.
Hi, my name is Kay Adams, and to be honest, I'm not so good with the aging process, so I enlisted my old chum, the filter-free Cara McKenzie, to advise.
Could you imagine being a porn star? The room would need to be really hot for me to strip off.
To be honest, she's not much help, but she is rather amusing. And along with some great guests, Joe Brand, Andy Oliver, Anton Dubek, Ruth Langsford, and Craig Revel Horwood, darling, we are learning how to be 60. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.